Welcome, everyone, to the Week 12 preview of the Fantasy Fancy Podcast. I'm Austin Gray, and I'm not drinking Mayday this week.
What? Hey.
Say what?
What? Ew, you so crazy.
Wacky.
To my right is Brandon Burke.
Hello, everyone. I am drinking some ice-cold refreshing Coors Light.
People all over the world.
I'm also drinking Coors Light.
And Robitussin.
Yeah, and lots of cold meds.
John Burr is a little under the weather this week.
Sorry.
But we will try to suffer through this with him.
What are you sucking on there, DJ Rusty?
It's some kind of crazy New Belgian white IPA.
Good Lord.
DJ Rusty.
It has a clever name, like accumulation, like the snow, snowfall.
The only way to make an IPA whiter would be to call it white
To call it white IPA, that's what was perfect for me.
Yep. You're kind of ruddy-faced.
Only when I've had a few
alcoholic
noses. Too many of these.
Got one of those kind of Fatty Arbuckle drunk noses.
I want to see the hipster that names these
right
New
red.
Belgian beers.
I love the timeliness of the Fatty Arbuckle joke.
The timeliness. I'm on top of things.
Timelessness.
Yes, that's right.
Timelessness. So week 11. Bloody hell, you guys.
Bloody hell it was.
I enjoyed it.
I'm just glad that the top five running backs weren't all Saints this week.
And indeed none of them.
Yes. Very much so.
Back to earth.
Back to reality.
Let's see. The Broncos versus Chiefs did not disappoint from an entertainment standpoint, but was not the most fantasy glorious.
Peyton Manning owners were finally kind of sort of let down, but you can't really get angry about double-digit points.
Right.
Really good night games, actually, this time around. Thursday night game was good for a bit there, unless you're a Titans fan, and then it totally crushed your spirit.
And then you were there.
That, as was Brandon.
Yeah, I was in the luxury box, son.
Yes, sir.
Living the dream.
I had a great time until it suddenly became evident that we were very, very content to just fuck ourselves in the ass.
I wouldn't have drank that much bourbon if I thought we were going to lose.
And then the Monday night game last night was a classic.
That was great. Lots of
good
controversy.
Geno Smith looked like shit.
That he did. My EJ Manuel for Rookie of the Year bet is still slightly alive. Slightly.
Who would be the other contenders?
It seems like it's going to be between... Who's
Patrick Peterson?
Eddie Lacy right now? That's defensive.
Tyrann Matthew,
year.
Yeah.
And he won't get that either. Star Latulele has that locked up, I think.
I don't know who...
I think they should not give one this year.
No?
No offensive Rookie of the Year. Because they were all truly offensive. I mean, Tavon Austin had one good game. Eddie Lacy's been the only one who's really made a buzz, unless EJ Manuel does.
They still do it. Each gets a division, right? Or each division gets a pick, right?
Each division?
Conference.
Or each conference, sorry.
I believe so. Yeah.
I was distracted.
I believe so.
MVP, who you got this week?
I'll defer to you, Brandon. I liked your pick.
I'm going with Carson Palmer. He's someone that's you could reasonably start. I actually started him 5 minutes before the game when I saw how shitty the weather was in Chicago. I made a quick break to pick up Carson Palmer off the free agency pool. He had that game against Jacksonville, 419 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, clean on the turnovers. Had a hell of a game.
Take note. That's how you're supposed to do against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That's how it should be done.
Is that a dig at Peyton Manning?
So it's a dig at all the quarterbacks who are not doing this against Jacksonville.
Jacksonville actually statistically has a fairly average defense.
Yeah.
They're just constantly on the field.
God, it must be torturous playing for that franchise.
I think the only other pick this week could have been Bobby Rainey, but 0.6% of people started Bobby Rainey.
Yeah.
Which really is disappointing that it wasn't more than that.
You would think it would be since he was the consensus number one pickup.
It sadly, I think, has a lot to do with people not paying attention.
Or Brian Leonard owners.
Yeah. You're welcome. You're welcome.
It's those people that are that wear Affliction shirts that are starting Bobby Rainey right now.
LVP.
Those are such great shirts.
I'm going with Andre Ellington. He was one of my Yoo-hoos. He had 8 carries for 3 yards. And...
The Mendenhall fascination has not ended.
Yeah, he has not. We thought it might, but he lost more dreadlocks from Jason Babin than he did have yards. Ugh. I don't know if y'all saw. They ripped his hair clean off his head.
Terrifying.
How does anyone wear those?
Like some Native American scalped shit.
Yes. Blood on the tracks.
Ugh.
gross.
You'd go home and shave that if it happened to you, right? Like the very second you got home.
Absolutely.
I think it'd be a point of pride.
My brother and I tried to tell me that those dreadlocks are hair extensions for all the black people that have them.
No way.
I don't buy it either. I think they're actual dreadlocks.
Your brother doesn't know any black people.
Brother-in-law. And he knows a lot.
He hates them all.
Is he not from Kansas?
No, my brother in law
right
from
here,
from
Murfreesboro,
from worse than that.
Does anybody else got an LVP?
Woods
from
something.
Jackson, Tennessee.
No, which
Woodbury?
Woodbury.
Yeah, that's in Murfreesboro.
Woodbury, Tennessee.
That's like the scary Klansman part of Murfreesboro.
Yeah, oh, it all adds up.
Sounds about right.
Another LVP. Let's see. Oh God, Jesus, AJ Green.
Yeah, zero.
0 points.
He got hated on by Joe Hayden.
Joe Hayden.
He does it. He'll do it to you.
Joe Hayden, he had quite the coming out party this week. A couple picks.
He is, as far as DVOA is concerned, officially the number one cornerback, overtaking Alteron Verner and Patrick Peterson. So take note.
Got to say that Steve Smith, as an overall football game, got another MVP, a little star next to his name just for his performance.
Entertainment MVP.
Oh, my God.
Shit talk MVP.
A good way to my heart is if you get in a scuffle, just start hitting yourself on the head.
Yeah. When he backed Tlaib backwards out of the end zone while screaming at him and grabbing him by the lapels, if football jerseys had lapels.
They should. That'd be awesome.
One day.
He was one Harold's Big Dick from Kids Dance away from having, to me, a perfect game. If he had just shaken his imaginary big dick, it would have been definite MVP of the season.
I'm shaking my dick right now. Mm. You can't see it on the radio.
It's a good dance.
And through your pants.
Fap, fap, fap.
All right, well, shall we move on to the Yoo-Hoo Shitheads?
Yoo-Hoo Shitheads, I just found a bag of fireworks in the men's restroom. Would you guys like to light them off?
The players you must start this week.
These are the players we like. Brandon, will you start us off?
With being at the Titans-Colts game this past week, and I have been a big believer in Trent Richardson down the road. I own him, but...
Stop that.
Yeah, I'm over it. Donald Brown just looks galaxies ahead of Trent Richardson in terms of, and he hadn't even been playing half as much, coming off an injury, and he's got multiple gears. He runs the ball hard. He's hitting the holes. He's coming up with production. He had 80 yards, 2 touchdowns last week. He's got a tough matchup going up against Arizona on the road, but I think he's going to be the feature back for a good Colts offense. I don't see the Colts getting up on Arizona at some point and trying to grind out the clock a little bit. But hell, who knows? They love to fall behind. But going Donald Brown this week.
He's playing in all parts of the field. He's getting a lot of touches. He's involved in the passing game. I think Donald Brown's a pretty sneaky start for the rest of the year.
I almost had Donald Brown as my sit on you.
Still believing in the cards?
Yeah, absolutely. They've only allowed 3 rushing touchdowns all season long. That's in 10 weeks. And... at his core, I still don't really buy that Donald Brown is a good running back.
He's still goddamn Donald Brown.
Yeah, and I don't think that they're just going to stop giving Trent Richardson any carries. I don't think the usage is going to be high enough in this game. I think the run defense for the Cardinals is too stout. I don't think he's going to score. So best case scenario for me is about a 6-point week for Donald Brown.
I think the touchdown could kill you. They like to throw the underneath shuttle pass in the red zone. He's got 3 touchdowns on that same play. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Boom.
Neither outcome would surprise me.
I'm
Swiss as fuck right now. Cordarrelle Patterson at the Packers. He didn't have the greatest fantasy game last week. Did not score, but quietly led the team in targets with 11. I don't think Jarius Wright will have another big game. Greg Jennings seems to have totally disappeared. It's just a matter of time for Cordarrelle Patterson. The talent is there. As long as Ponder is playing... and not Josh Froballs or Matt Castle, I think this offense actually is not one of the worst in the league any longer. They can actually move the ball a little bit. They still have a terrible defense, which leads to a shootout-type game against even the Tolzien-led Packers. So I think Cordarrelle Patterson could be a good plug for you. If you're, you know, there's a myriad wide receivers on bye week this week, so give Cordarrelle Patterson a shot.
I believe that he is the most talented. There must be something about him that they don't quite buy as a receiver.
He doesn't have extensive knowledge of route running. Right. He only played one year at big-time college football, and that was under Derek Dooley at Tennessee.
Gross.
He's a professional wide receivers coach.
Yeah, but not really.
I think that there's actually something to the Jarius Wright stuff.
Right.
And I think it's telling that he was the starter. That said, Cordarrell is going to be good for a
Cordarrell
big play.
Cordarrell also started. Greg Jennings was set.
Yeah, Jennings is set. But, yeah, I suppose you could do a lot worse than Cordarrell Patterson.
I mean, at some point, they're just going to have to – they tried to give him the ball a lot. If he can just make some catches and make some plays, you know, the opportunity is there. You know, he could be another – he had a touchdown 2 weeks ago. This could be his breakout game. Not really a better secondary to try that against than Green Bay.
That is true. That is quite true. I'm going to go with Marcus Colston. Since sitting out a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, he has returned to fantasy relevance. He's gotten 8 targets a week for 2 straight weeks. He's going up against Atlanta, who's 31st in DVOA against number one wide receivers. They're moving him around, too, putting him in the slot, and really making a concerted effort to get him the ball. I think this is a good week for him. I'm thinking 100 yards and a touchdown at least for Marcus Colston.
Atlanta's fucking miserable now.
And
miserable.
They've really sort of tapped out, too.
Yes.
This is a team that's given up.
When you get blown out by the Bucs and you make Mike Glennon look like fucking Joe Montana, you're in trouble.
He's the goofiest looking NFL quarterback I think I've ever seen. Though.
I think he is good. He didn't have an incomplete pass.
Yeah, he went 7-for-7 to start the game.
He didn't have an incomplete pass after the first quarter.
Yeah.
Just finished out completing them all.
And one of his incomplete passes was a pass interference, too, so it's a pretty flawless quarterback, right. Honestly.
I think they found their guy. I think they found their guy, the Buccaneers. Who's your next one, Brandon?
Okay, so last week, one of my Yoo-hoos, I brought you Delanie Walker, a tight end for the Titans. I heard it in his voice, saw it in his eyes after they got beat by the Jags. He's a guy that's not to be played with. He was backup to Vernon Davis, had a big week last week. Titans came out starting 5 wide. They had him split out. They threw the ball. They targeted him over and over again. And this week he goes on the road at Oakland, a team that Garrett Graham just absolutely burnt for 136 yards last week and a touchdown.
Very susceptible to tight ends.
I think it's just going to keep raining on him. And I think Delanie Walker is going to get, I mean, he might get 10 targets this week. And for a tight end.
Are you ready for the Matt McGloin, Ryan Shit's Tragic shootout?
I don't know.
It's coming.
Matt McGloin barely, he's a Penn State quarterback last year, right?
Oh, yeah.
He barely started. Like, he was like this heady gamer, like ginger kid that they brought in that was
McGloin.
Yeah, I don't know how he's a starting quarterback.
He threw almost as many touchdowns in one game as Terrell Pryor has had all year.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Sorry, T-Pain owners. You may drop him now.
To the Delanie Walker point, he has probably the easiest schedule for the rest of the year amongst tight ends. I'm starting him every week if I'm a Delanie Walker.
And Fitzpatrick loves him.
Loves clearly.
Him. He has more of a rapport with him than even Kendall Wright, who I was really excited about.
So provided that Fitzpatrick stays healthy, which is a terrible thing to rely on. Well, he doesn't have a history of injury.
They've got John Skelton now.
Now so they have John
they'll
Skelton.
Right. They'll be all right.
John Burr, who do you have next?
My second Yoo-hoo. Is in the same vein as Cordarrelle Patterson in that he's a guy who you're probably starting if you're in trouble at wide receiver because of bye week.
Is he a hustle player?
No, not at all. Terrence Williams is not a hustle player. He's a flashy speedster, but he's going up against the Giants, who are not very good against the number 2 and 3 wide receivers. Miles Austin is playing this week, which I actually think helps Terrence Williams. He's going to be truly allowed to run the deep routes that he excels at. I like these Baylor guys for deep routes. I wish the Titans would use Kendall Wright on some deep routes, but apparently that's worthless with the arm strength of Fitzpatrick back there. I think Terrence Williams could have his return to fantasy relevance again after a bye week and a couple of bad weeks.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
For instance, I think I'm starting Terrence Williams. I mean, I even think this is such a good matchup. I'm starting Terrence Williams over Keenan Allen this week. And I love Keenan Allen, but I think the matchup is better.
Sure. Absolutely. And Keenan Allen's going up against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and he's banged up.
Yeah. I think it's a good call.
My last one is Eric Decker. Wes Welker is concussed. There's a very real possibility he won't play. those targets have to go somewhere. He's playing New England, who is 32nd in DVOA against the number two wide receiver. They just let LaFell rip off 59 yards and a touchdown. And I think Decker, especially in this system, is a lot better threat than Brandon LaFell. This is going to be a big game for him.
Decent play if Welker plays. Excellent play if Welker doesn't play.
Yeah.
I think Eric Decker is a hell of a wide receiver. The more I watch him, the more I'm impressed with. And I'm not even going to go into the whole hustle thing, but he just, I mean, he's in the right spot at the right time. I mean,
I could not disagree more. I think he's very bad at being a wide receiver and has the luxury of playing with Robo QB.
Yeah, the greatest quarterback of our generation.
His fumbles and drops are, you know, tops in percentage in the whole league.
Maybe I'm just wowed by his handsome good looks.
I think you might be.
He is incredibly handsome.
Yeah. He's very handsome, and he's fast, yeah, and he's strong. And he, you know, he's kind of like Riley Cooper without the racism a little bit.
I mean, what?
I think Riley Cooper is a better player than he is.
I agree with that.
He definitely leads the league in disgusted Peyton Manning looks per game. Because that guy, he's definitely Peyton's least favorite receiver on the team. He always gets the Manning face, just the blank stare of doom. Well, no, blank stare of doom is Eli's. Peyton's is more of a dang it.
Yeah,
his hands up.
Not
yeah,
a blank hands stare. Up. It's a very specific stare.
Yeah.
Very peering into your soul.
Yeah, there's more pathos behind it. Eli's is more of like a, you know, Buffalo Bill serial killer vacant stare.
The little
you have to open
handicapped
your mouth.
Boy.
Yeah. I don't think Eli's ever closed that yet. He breathes out of that yet.
Well, the flip side of this coin is the sit on yous.
What you do, you sit on these players. Don't start them.
Don't start them. This is what I do. Kick us off, Brandon.
Don't start Antonio Gates at Kansas City. He's been inconsistent at best. He's had some nice weeks, but this week he's going on the road to a hostile environment against the number one defense against tight ends. And I don't expect him to have a big week this week. But when it's as dark as it is right now, sometimes shit happens and they just blow up. But I mean, when you're looking at everything in front of you, Antonio Gates, you got better options. I mean, I'm looking at Delanie Walker. Start him over Antonio Gates for sure.
I agree with what you just said about Delanie Walker, but I think Gates is still a hard sit. You better have quite the tight end too to do this.
What about Charles Clay?
No, I would start Gates over Clay.
Ooh.
I struggle to think of a like waiver wire tight end that you would have backing up.
And I love Charles Clay.
backing up Gates. Chandler.
I mean, I could see the, you know, Gates-Walker combo being real, but for your average fantasy fan, probably doesn't have the luxury of both of those players, so I think you're probably still going to start Gates. This is not a big tight end year. It's a down year again.
Yeah.
Every year I think it's going to be a big tight end year, and it's not.
Not since the Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski touchdown off.
Right. It's really become the type of thing where if you can get Gronk or Graham early, you kind of have to do it if you want to have any tight end relevance for most of the year.
They're so far above the peloton, and maybe we'll be able to put Julius Thomas into there as well.
What is that word you use?
The peloton.
What is that? Where does that come from?
It's a cycling term.
It's Greek.
Does that come from the Halo video game?
No, the peloton is in cycling.
Okay.
The cluster of bicyclists behind the lead stallions.
The non-blood dopers.
Oh, okay.
No, they're still blood dopers.
Okay.
They're all blood dopers.
At what point, when are they going to stop listing Graham as a tight end, though? He never lines up a tight end ever.
Never. Never blocks as a tight end.
I don't understand. I mean, is it just the depth chart that gets turned in?
I think it's a girth.
Oh, dear. Visions of
My point is, though, that they're so much better than the rest of the tight ends that it is not crazy to take them in the first two rounds.
No, not at all. Yeah, I mean, it's just hard to kick Gates out of that top 10.
Who's yours, John Burr?
For me, it shall be what seems like an almost weekly occurrence, Chris Johnson. Again. He seems to have a good week than a bad week. He had a two touchdown performance. I expect a bad week against Oakland, even though Oakland's defense isn't any good. I still expect a bad week. I expect some really sad Chris Johnson owners again.
I think you're playing a little bit of pin the tail on the donkey. You're just looking for something and you're grasping at straws. I think Chris Johnson is a must start this week and pretty much for the rest of the season. The schedule really lightens up. The offensive line is one of those groups that really needs to click. They've had some injuries, especially at the center position. Tackles are a little banged up. They're old guys, but if they can get it together, Chris Johnson runs hard.
They have a great schedule for the rest of the year.
The one thing that concerns me is the vulturing aspect of Sean Green. They pay way too much money to Sean Green to not give him the goal line touches.
There will be no red zone touches
for Chris. So you want Chris coming out from about 20 yards every time?
That's the only way you're going to get it, and I don't think he'll get it. I hope I am wrong. But, you know, you just goes to show you never can tell with Chris Johnson. I also hate that the teams are able to put 8 in the box with Ryan Fitzpatrick, a quarterback. I hate that.
I don't fault anyone who wants to sit Chris Johnson. I don't think he's a must-start by any means. I mean, I think it's a real roll of the dice that he's going to have a big week.
Right. I mean, he actually has had a decent fantasy year this year, though. He's probably still in the top, you know, he's definitely in the top 20 running backs. I mean, he's just had a couple of, he's had long touchdowns this year. But for those who are expecting a repeat performance like he did against the Colts, I just think you're going to be very, very disappointed.
I will give you this. He's had a lot of garbage points this year, especially on long screens and little just bubble passes out of the backfield that he just breaks off in the fourth quarter.
But you can't discount them.
You can't. Still fantasy points.
And you can't script it or predict it. You don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to go with Antonio Brown. He came off a wonderful week this past week against the Detroit Lions, but welcome to Hayden Island.
Oy.
As we previously mentioned, Joe Hayden, who held AJ Green to
zero
points. And Antonio Brown is a little bit of a head case, too. I can kind of see him getting so frustrated by this that he gets benched eventually.
He did get benched 2 weeks ago. I will tell you the counterpoint to this is Roethlisberger's extend to play ability, because it's just so hard to cover somebody for as long as Roethlisberger makes plays last. They also like to run those pick plays. They move Antonio Brown a lot. I think he may be able to get away from Hayden, not as much that he's getting away from in coverage, but I think there will be plays where he won't be covered by him. It's hard to sit. I'd be hard pressed to sit Antonio Brown. Then again, I could have never sat AJ Green last week either. Antonio Brown, you know, he's been a top 10 wide receiver this year. He's a hard guy to sit. That's a ballsy pick.
Sure. That's how I roll.
With big balls?
Big balls and lots of humility.
What's the line from that classic film, Speed? How do you even sit down with those big brass balls, Keanu?
I don't remember that.
You don't remember Speed?
I haven't seen Speed since I was probably 14.
You're not
years
familiar
old.
With the oeuvre of Jan de Bon?
I guess not.
Twister?
I had
Speed,
an ex-girlfriend.
Jan de Bon?
I say girlfriend. I was in the eighth grade.
So you finger banged her?
I did more than finger bang her. She was not a virgin. Yeah.
Middle America.
A little naive Austin.
Good Lord.
With his first real girlfriend who was not a virgin.
In eighth grade.
She showed me the ropes. She loved Keanu Reeves, and so I not only had to watch Speed, I had to watch My Own Private Idaho.
Oh, so she was into junkie Keanu.
She was into everything Keanu.
She was into junkie male prostitute Keanu.
Yes, absolutely. She owned My Own Private Idaho.
Ooh.
I had a lot to learn.
Yeah. I see how this shaped you as a man.
Thank you.
A lot of issues.
Brandon, you got another one?
My sit on you is, it's not as much of a sit on you, but it's a pause for thought. It's Josh Gordon versus Pittsburgh. Josh Gordon has been making plays all over the field, putting up big numbers.
This is even ballsier than Austin's.
I'm like, if you've seen the South Park episode where they legalize weed and they outlaw KFC, Randy walks around with his big balls in a wheelbarrow, and that's what I did. I walked through the door with my balls in a wheelbarrow to make this pick.
That you did.
And, you know, Dick LeBeau's been around the block. Josh Gordon's about the only weapon the Browns have. I think he will find a way to isolate him. And these AFC North matchups end up turning into slugfest, running the ball, ball possession, field position. Watch it. Watch your mic now. And
is that my fault?
Yeah, your mic stand was like way too close.
Quit
to
referencing things flailing. That cannot be heard.
The end.
I will say Ike Taylor needs to have a much better game this week than last week if he's going to hope to contain Josh Gordon.
Yeah, that was horrendous.
He had an awful game. But I understand where you're going, because Josh Gordon, you look at his stats, and he does so much with so little because he's not that heavily targeted, especially with Jason Campbell. That guy checks down probably the one of the worst checked, you know, over check down artists.
Check down donkey is
in NFL history.
Check down,
I mean,
donkey.
That guy and Alex Smith, to me, take all the fun out of football because of how they refuse to throw the ball down the field.
They're extremely poor men's Tom Brady.
Yeah, they're desperate to not fuck up.
Yeah.
And I agree that they don't fuck up that much, but I can't watch football like that. I need to see some shots taken.
Yeah, it's tough.
Shots.
I don't have the balls to do this. To sit Josh Gordon.
You guys are both really ballsy, because mine is not nearly as ballsy. I'm using Jarrett Boykin. Sit on Jarrett Boykin versus Minnesota. He was started in over 80% of leagues last week, even with Scott Tolzien in. And I understand where the rationale was. You thought he was still going to be heavily involved. But James Jones is up to 96% usage of snaps, and Boykin got down to 60%. So that means half the time, you know, nearly half the time he's not on the field. I know it's very hard to sit people against Minnesota, but I think Boykin's kind of getting phased out a little bit. If you're going to still start him, this is the last week you can start him.
Limited opportunities these days.
I mean, even with Finley out, and I know they do a lot of three wide receiver sets, but three wide receiver sets with J.R.R. Tolzien at quarterback is different than three wide receiver sets with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Tough to argue with your advice to sit Jarrett Boykin.
And Tolzien,
that's the reverse of y'all's ballsy picks.
I have a head cold.
And Tolzien's going to face a storm of swords this week going up against the Vikings.
Oh, my.
I like that reference.
This isn't
a fantasy novel podcast.
If you get a Zelazny reference in there, maybe a Wheel of Time reference, you get bonus points.
Did you just bust out the weed pen, Rusty? Okay.
It's not weed, it's tobacco.
Okay.
Russell has taken the excellence of a weed, what are they called? We use one in a podcast.
Weed gun.
Vaporizer.
Yeah, weed gun. Yes.
That was legendary. Deep That's cut. What brought me here. I was hoping there'd be weed guns.
You're using a weed gun to smoke cigarettes.
A lot of folks are doing that these days.
You got the wrong oil in there, cowboy.
Apparently I do.
Need to get some dank-ass Crippy Bud in there.
You just point me in the right
Crippy
direction.
Crippy Bud?
Well, here's Crippy what you bud? Do. You go to the poor neighborhoods. You go to the street corners of the poor neighborhoods, and you start screaming how you need some of that crack rock.
I'm out on this conversation. I'm out.
Then you put the crack rock into the weed gun, and you smoke crack. You become addicted to crack.
Okay.
Then you sell your possessions, and you lose your loved ones. Then you die.
Become mayor of Toronto.
Oh,
yes.
Man, he fucking charged that woman.
He did.
I think he was charging at someone else and just caught that lady.
I think he did all of that in good spirits. I don't think there's any malice in that. He's a giant bowling ball.
He's a nightmare.
Well, since it's a football podcast, watch the football gif of him like taking a snap from an invisible center. Oh. He takes one step and just eats ass.
It was his dream to become a football player.
Yeah.
A pro football player.
A quarterback.
And he cannot play game of football.
I think he coached a little high school ball up in Toronto.
Man.
He can eat a little pussy, though.
Wow.
He's got plenty to eat.
He's got plenty of pussy to eat.
Jesus Christ. I think the more important gif is the one Austin told me about today. Where they have that incredible Jean-Claude Van Damme Volvo commercial, but they put Rob Ford's head on Jean-Claude Van Damme's head.
It is so seamless.
Can we put that on the page? Because I haven't even seen that.
I'll try to remember some ideas.
We'll watch
tomorrow.
It when this is over.
Yeah.
I'll try to come out of this fucking flu coma.
How many of you, after watching that Van Damme video, looked up that Enya song and listened to it in its entirety?
Not me.
I'm not really an Enya man. I'm more of an Age of Innocence guy.
Okay. The song is called Return to Innocence.
Return to Innocence.
Enigma is the band.
Enigma, yes, that's it.
Hey, oh, hi, hi, oh, hi.
Age of Innocence
loved that
is
one,
a Daniel Day-Lewis classic.
Do you remember the first Enigma song? This is a great podcast about New Age music.
Mm-hmm.
The first Enigma song that I remember was the Sad Dis-moi.
I remember
with
that.
The, like, I don't woods, remember that one. Oh, wasn't that Gregorian chanting?
There's like, somebody.
I'm more into co-opting Native American culture than Gregorian culture.
Really? Mm-hmm. That surprises me. I would have assumed the opposite. Is it your heritage?
Yeah, I just feel like just better chanting.
The connection to the past.
Gregorian chanting is like way too...
religious?
It doesn't have as much balls to it. Yes, exactly. I don't want to go to church, but do I want to go smoke peyote? Absolutely.
I thought you ate peyote.
You can do whatever the fuck you want. Is that right? Peyote.
Have you done peyote?
Of course I have. Don't fuck around with me on my podcast.
No, I want to know.
I've done every drug there is.
Really?
No.
Oh, yeah. I mean not the hard
the
stuff.
The fucking nerd.
I've never done heroin. You ever done heroin, Brandon?
No, no heroin.
Not even at a fish show?
No. Not even in the morning.
I have never seen a drug harder than ecstasy.
What about cocaine?
I've never seen cocaine.
Never seen cocaine?
I've never seen
cocaine right now.
Really?
I can make two calls.
Hollywood Jim. I intentionally got the name wrong.
Man, you got to do some cocaine, Austin.
Do I have to go?
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. You would have remembered. You would have remembered if you were doing cocaine.
That's right.
You'd have been on point,
been sharp as a tack.
That's really what's wrong with my nose.
Too much coke.
I went to rehab for my nose.
Ray Rice is my sit on you.
Hear, hear.
And it was a long time coming this last really good week for Ray Rice, and I think it is his first good week and his last good week. This week, he is playing, who is it? Sorry.
A very good defense.
Oh, the Jets, Jesus.
Very good defense.
Number one in DVOA against the run, and also held C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson in a game that they got blown out by to 4 fantasy points.
I disagree with you in that it'll be Ray Rice's last good game, but I don't expect lightning to strike twice. This Jets defense is legit. I think Ray Rice, we're going to talk later about guys to trade for, and he has a pretty decent playoff schedule.
Jesus,
bless you. Bless you. Blessings.
Bless your heart.
Our listeners can get sick from this.
I almost felt like this was too easy of a pick, that it'd be picking on Ray Rice, but people are going to be tempted to start him.
He's back. He's back.
He is not back.
Not this week.
No. Anything to add, Brandon? Or shall we move on?
I hope you're fucking wrong. We're rubbing.
Are you starting Ray Rice? Or you have Schadenfreude?
I don't know. I mean, you get the right people in bye weeks. Depends on your team. I'm not saying sit Ray Rice. Just roll the dice with him. Roll the dice with Ray Rice.
Roll the dice against the best running defense in the league.
Don't do that.
It's not, I mean, it's any given Sunday. I think even
Sunday. Ooh, funny.
Quantitative analysis.
Oh, yeah. Funny. Are you a Harbaugh brother now? That's my one-word Pacino impression.
Well, this week, in lieu of Twitter questions, we have a more in-depth section about guys that you should pick up and buy low on with the playoffs in mind. Your league is coming into focus now. The end of the league is nigh. You probably know if you're going to make the playoffs or not, and it's not too early to be thinking about this. And we have a few names.
It's time. I mean, most people's trade deadlines are this week, so you got to make your moves.
I'll get us kicked off. I'm going to go with Luke McCown.
It's really looking like Cutler may not be back.
I don't think he's going to be back. And they don't appear to be dropping off. Cutler's in a cast, too.
Yeah. He's very worried about certain ligaments. I don't know.
They're not going to rush him back. Right. And, of course, I'm referring to DVOA when I say all this. But McCown's schedule in the playoffs, the last 4 weeks of the season, Dallas 19th against the pass. Cleveland 17th, even with Joe Hayden 17th. Philadelphia 26th, Green Bay 29th. Green Bay one is the big one because a lot of guys that you may own are going to be sitting in week 17.
McCown got me through my Peyton Manning bye week, and I think he can get people through the playoffs if they have the type of quarterback who may be sitting in the playoffs.
I think a lot of people probably dropped him when it looked like Cutler was coming back, too.
Especially if you have a week 17, a league that uses week 17, because there's a very good chance there's going to be some quarterbacks sitting. You know, Brady, Peyton. look to guys who are the Bears are fighting for their playoff lives. I also think Trestman likes McCown. I don't think there's, you know, this is Cutler's last year on this contract. This may be the end of Cutler in Chicago anyways.
Especially, first of all, if you have Colin Kaepernick or someone like that, pick up McCown anyway.
Right.
He's probably a better play no matter what. But
especially on Kaepernick's matchup. Kaepernick is such a boomer bust guy.
I can't imagine Kaepernick having a better matchup than any one of those four in the last 4 weeks, though.
But if Kaepernick's playing someone shitty, Kaepernick's a good start just because of the runability.
Runability.
Those are two different words.
Who you got to recommend?
I will go since John is emptying his face right now.
I feel like nothing's coming out, and I think you're just blowing just for fun.
I think you can
I'm like a goose.
I think you can get Cecil Shorts at a fair value. He's very dependable, and his schedule the rest of the way out is very favorable towards him. At Houston, at Cleveland, which with him being the number one wide receiver, again, we know the Cleveland bomb. But after that, Houston, Buffalo, Tennessee, all at home, at Indy. I think he's got the potential to give you some stability in your lineup. If you're strong in one position, you need a wide receiver, you need some consistency, so you don't just lay a fucking goose egg 1 week in the playoffs. I think Cecil Shorts might be your guy.
I love AFC South players, and I love Eagles. Those are the two things I target the most. And I also want to talk about a particular strategy I think people should employ if they have their they're looking like a playoff team. It's time to handcuff some running backs. And that means dealing your backup running backs, particularly if you have strong ones, and upgrading your wide receivers. I think this is a strategy you should employ. If you're a Jamal Charles owner, you can look at Nile Davis. If you're a LeSean McCoy owner, you can look at Polk or Brown. You can start shoring up your best players and trying to get this is the time of year where you cement your lineup and try to get the most potent lineup you can get.
Yeah, just destroy your depth.
Absolutely.
Bye weeks are over.
And you got to be careful about with whom you trade at this time of year because you could be sealing your own fate. You can't get too short-sighted and be like, what does this do for me? You need to think about what you're doing for the player you're playing against. It's better to trade with a team you don't think is going to make the playoffs than trade with a team you think will be, you know, potentially your championship matchup.
If you're on the fringes of the playoffs and not sure if you're going to make it, you sort of throw that into wind, though.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Burn it all.
Yeah.
Getting into the playoffs is the ultimate goal. Once you get there, then, you know, fantasy football is such a crapshoot already, but then it gets really, really, really roll of the dice.
Well, speaking of crapshoots, defenses are quite a crapshoot in general.
Right.
But going down the stretch, the Colts defense plays Cincinnati, and they look pretty inept.
Yes.
Lot of the time. They play Houston, Kansas City, and Jacksonville. Four just not very potent offenses. And the Colts are good.
The thing that sucks about anything Colts related, though, and I mean anything Colts related, and I'm glad I don't have any Colts, and other than Kobe Fleener, I don't think anyone.
They're Midwestern values.
They're enormous fans.
I like it.
They're like the Cardinals of football.
Colts fans and Packers fans and Chiefs fans are the most monstrous humans. They've all taken on the physiological characteristics of their greatest coaches. And I already think that Andy Reid is their greatest coach in the Chiefs.
So Colts fans started shaving their heads?
No, I was referring to the Ted Marchibrodo days.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't fat either. Neither was Weeb Eubanks. I can't find any fat Colts coaches. Ah, hey, Tom Moore. He's fucking fat.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do Colts just because I hate what Pep Hamilton has done to this offense. He's turned this into a real, they're still good, but it's a real ball control, grind out the game, you know, try to win by 10 and run the ball. It doesn't make any sense to me. They were such a better fantasy offense when Arians was there.
Well, the good news is that I'm talking about their defense.
Right, but the offense and the defense are so linked in the pace of the game.
I know, but a ball control offense does a good job to keep the defense off the field.
Well, I don't think the Colts, the plays are there to, like, when you have a blowout, when a team is blowing another team out, that's when the defensive points come a running because teams are taking chances, you get sacks, you get interceptions. I don't know if I
can. Yeah, but
a la Saints look, 2 years ago.
Three of the four teams that they're playing aren't going to score that many points.
Bengals have put up points sometimes.
On occasion, yeah, that is true.
They put up 50 against a very good defense 2 weeks ago.
Pick any defense that plays Eli Manning.
Oh, sweet Jesus. That's somebody I want to talk about. Is Eli buy low for the playoffs? Because his schedule is easy.
I wouldn't do it.
I own him as my backup. I'm thinking about dropping him for McCown.
I think you're setting yourself up for a supreme disappointment if you put yourself in a position to start Eli Manning.
Yeah, it just seems too scary at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like I'm uncomfortable starting any of his receivers as well. I mean, you never know. Reuben Randle might get – he got like fucking 40% of the snaps last week, only three targets, and he gets the touchdown. He's not locking in to one player, and they're not passing enough. They're trying to run a lot. I mean, Andre Brown might be a good target.
They sure have a lot of good skill position players for as shitty as they are.
This year is just bizarre for them.
God, we brought up Eli Manning, and things got real dark in here.
That seems to be what's happening.
The light's even dimmed.
That fucking light is swinging from the ceiling right now.
It's the ghost of Bark Cats. A quick digression, John Burr.
I can't remember the Twitter handle right now, and I'm sick. I'm not going to look it up, but there's a guy online who makes lists of things that Eli Manning dislikes. And not only does he do that, but he does it in Eli Manning's language. So, for instance, Bark Cats are dogs.
Ouchie cheese sandwich.
Ouchie cheese sandwich is a mousetrap. He doesn't like mousetraps. Hurdy hug bears. Our hurdy hug dogs are bears. it's pretty important. Anytime you think of Eli Manning as the overgrown man child that he is, good things happen for you.
Yes. You got anybody, Brandon?
Percy, show no mercy, Harvin. I know there's a lot of hype around him, but with his limited plays last week, he showed a few flashes of brilliance. Has an off week this week. You might be able to snag him from somebody that's got him on their bench that needs a wide receiver or another position to put in the game. I think you might be able to steal him away from somebody if you see the right opportunity.
Yeah, this is kind of last week to do to take advantage of the people who have bye week problems too.
Yeah, that's true.
Do it.
I've got an incredibly buy low to the point that you're not really going to have to buy. He's probably available on your waiver wire. That is Miles Austin.
Mm.
He is. He sat out the week before the bye.
He's definitely playing this week.
He's basically had three full weeks to rest. Definitely coming back.
He's good on rest.
And his last four games, the Cowboys' last four games, he's going up against Chicago, yep. Number 10 against number twos, number two wide receivers in DVOA. Green Bay, number 24. Washington, number 25. Philadelphia, number 28. This could be a late season emergence for Miles Austin, and you're not giving up anything to get him and stash him on your roster.
Yeah.
We skipped Twitter queries, but I know we had one on Twitter, and this kind of falls into play. Crabtree's coming back.
Yes.
It might be time to pick up Crabtree might do something into the year. He might be a playoff stud.
And that could transform the entire 49ers offense.
Oh, man, offense that is so transformable by just having someone who's a vertical threat.
Certainly.
I mean, the difference between them when Vernon Davis is in or out is night and day, and Crabtree could, kick that into overdrive.
He's almost like Vernon Davis light.
Yes. I mean, they're similar players.
Yeah, and so having them both on the field is kismet.
Kaepernick needs help, so they need to get him out. I think they'll get him out there and get him into heavy rotations very quickly.
My one concern is rhythm. I think you have to have that rhythm, especially heading late into the season. And just the way that Kaepernick throws, it's very unconventional. It's very flat, so he has to throw it very accurately for his flat deep ball that he throws.
Right. One plus is that Crabtree has shown the ability to come off of injured reserve and play well immediately before, so that helps.
And not just injured reserve, but a massive holdout.
Yeah. he's shown the ability. He can come onto the field quickly.
Come in cold.
Wide receivers are the worst people.
Well, they just wish they were in the NBA, and I can't fucking blame them.
Hard to believe that
them.
Darius Hayward-Bey got drafted ahead of Michael Crabtree.
Darius Hayward-Bey got drafted ahead of a lot of good players.
A lot of good players.
There's another Colt I'm glad I stayed away from. I remember the very brief, go pick up DHB after Reggie Wayne's injury. Who's going to fill that Reggie Wayne
role? Clearly T.Y. Hilton.
Fucking no one filled that role. Donald Brown filled that role.
Hilton is awesome, though.
He is awesome, but I mean, they definitely have not been able to. There's not a high-volume receiver on the Colts, and I don't like the Colts as a playoff team. Of the AFC South teams, which I love their playoff schedule, the Colts are my least favorite one.
I feel like we've poo-pooed the Colts too much for me to take a stand like that.
Sure.
We've routinely been proven wrong by the Colts.
I don't know. That's not a good fantasy football scoring team. Outside of Luck, I don't know who you're going to get stuff
from. I guess I didn't really think about that in fantasy football. I thought you were talking about in regular terms. But
oh, no, they are very clearly going to win the AFC South.
Yeah.
The Titans have totally shat their pants.
I have one more very safe buy low because you could do a lot worse.
Right.
D'Angelo Williams, he's not getting as many carries as he was, that's true. But it doesn't look like Stewart's going to be as much a factor as I thought he was.
And I like that they're giving him that Wildcat package in the red zone as well. That's
right,
nice.
Right. His last four, New Orleans twice.
Right.
Who are 29th in DVOA against the run. He does have the Jets mixed in there, and that sucks. But if you're picking him up, he's probably going to be your third or fourth running back anyway.
Right.
And Atlanta is his last game of the season, 23rd against the run. So you can get him for a song. I think you're probably going to find a Williams owner that's pretty disappointed with the way the last couple weeks have gone. I'd pick him up.
Yeah, I mean, his biggest hurdle is well, he has two large hurdles, and they're both big men, Cam Newton and Mike Tolbert.
Yep.
They're very good at their jobs in the red zone. This is tangential. I want to see a Wildcat play where they throw the ball to Cam Newton. I need
Every time
he's lined up wide, and he's on the field for those plays.
Right.
I need this to happen.
I want to see a Cam Newton end around.
Yeah, anything. Just a Cam Newton play where he doesn't get the ball first, I think would be so fantastic. Are you telling me that guy couldn't get a jump ball in the end zone?
No, he would destroy it.
I do think that those defenses are bad enough that he can score from 30 yards out.
Right,
Williams
yes.
can.
Didn't the Panthers use Julius Peppers as a wideout in end zone packages?
Long ago. But that's this is Riverboat Ron era.
It's in their blue blood, though.
Riverboat Ron!
God, they called him that on Monday Night Football.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's fucking great.
We couldn't really hear the sound where we were.
We don't want to hear the sound. I can't do Gruden.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
I specifically left my house because I can't do Gruden.
Love this guy.
That was the impetus.
Gruden grinder. That's another. I've never seen a guy who is so unaware of how he is perceived. I don't look at John Gruden and think about, oh, what a hard-nosed football coach. He looks like a little boy. He looks like a small, fair-haired child. Now, I will concede that he apparently is packing massive penis.
Oh, yeah? Word on the streets?
It's rare that I notice a man's penis through his pants, but John Gruden and John Hamm have massive cocks.
Noted.
Is that how we end this thing?
And that about wraps it up for week 12 of Fantasy Fancy.
Massive
we'll see you next
cocks.
Week. Good luck with your chicken.
Later, dudes.